Jema. Someone has asked a question. The question is based on an observation made by some advanced sadhak to some people that you should do this, you should not do this. If you get married, if you are in a job, then the grace will not be there. You have to, join the ashram and you have to give up all money and everything to get the grace of the Divine Mother. Otherwise, misery will fall upon you. So I'm very shocked, actually, frankly speaking, because anybody who has read Mother and Sri Aurobindo, or even without reading, just quotes into the factual history of how this yoga was practiced, will not say so. As a starter, even when Sri Aurobindo is in the physical body, he still is, so I am just using this word, in the gross physical body, there were two kinds of disciples. Two kinds is not about advanced and less advanced. There is nothing like that, because each one is moving along their own lines. We are not running on the same track. Everybody is on their own track. In this yoga, there is no uniform religion-like structure. Everybody must do five times, Sandhya Vandan or whatever else in different religions. Everybody must kneel down. Everybody must get up in the morning and do this meditation. It takes into account the infinite variety, variation of human nature, which is how Sanatana Dharma has evolved. Sanatana Dharma is never like everybody must do the same thing. So this is the first part we must understand. And accordingly, in Sri Aurobindo's yoga, everybody moved toward the divine in their own unique ways. So as a starter, there were people, even when Sri Aurobindo is in the physical body, meaning thereby before 1950, who were in Pondicherry, but they were married and they were looking after their own need, doing a business, and yet they were disciples. And this is a letter of Sri Aurobindo where he says, there are those who can take care of themselves materially. They continue to live here, they continue to work, and at the same time, they are disciples. But others, they join the ashram. When they join, naturally, they are taken care of materially by the ashram. In which case, it is understood that since they will be taken care for life, so they must give everything, whatever wealth they have. It was not a rule, but it was understood that now you will be taken care completely, so whatever you have, you offer it. So this was the origin. And there were a number of disciples outside, always, who were practicing yoga outside in conditions of the world. They were obviously married, they had children, they had all kinds of situation that opportunities and challenges that life offers. So first thing first, yoga is not about outer conditions in which we live, but the inner attitude with which we face them. One may be living in the ashram and not engaged in yoga, and that's what Mother has said herself. She has said that because there is freedom, it is taken for licentiousness. Because there is all kinds of, everything is provided, it leads to sometimes inertia, because you don't have to face the struggle and challenge. Whereas there are people living in the outer conditions of the world, because they have to face the challenge, they are more often crying out ma, 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 as an inevitable need. So again, yoga is all about inner and not the outer conditions. Having said that, this whole idea of divine punishing, divine being angry, being afraid of the divine, even now, often I have heard people, oh, why is Mother punishing me? Is Mother angry with me? Why has Mother given me this, given me that? We must understand this is an entirely Christian and Islamic concept. It has nothing to do with Sanatana Dharma. In Sanatana Dharma, the only sin, if you want to call it, is to be crooked in motives. And with these motives too, and why it is a sin? Because it keeps you away from the divine. That's its natural consequences. You are away from the divine. When you are away from the divine, when you engage in adharma, so you are indulging in activities which keep you away from the divine, extreme cruelty, for example. So what happens? You are cut off from the delight of existence. That is punishment, if you like. But it's a natural consequence. So what happens? You want to get it by outer means. So you run around like a monkey in a party. You drink, you play all kinds of games to get that little joy which anyway should be our nature. So this idea of fear between us and God is a Semitic conception. It's not Indian. And Sri Ramakrishna told about it, Sri Aurobindo speaks about it, that the Semitic religions have given fear in our relation with God, but Hindu religion, Sanatana Dharma, has taught us how to love God. So this is the second part. Third thing, which is more important, because there are people who say this, and earlier I used to take it okay, some, but now, you know, yesterday I received a letter that somebody who is an advanced sadhak, I don't know, and that's not a question of interest, because there are no advanced sadhaks in this yoga. Everybody, some are, maybe because they have started the race early, all these things are there, but advanced sadhak is only Mother and Sri Aurobindo. All others are advancing, and this advance is beautifully, it is a never-ending advance. Why? Because it's not about myself. This yoga is not about me undergoing a supramental transformation or X or Y or Z. It's a collective thing. So collective yoga by its nature cannot be some are more advanced. Until all reach, or that sizable number, tipping point, whatever way you want to call it, nobody reaches. Many people will come, get ready, little here, little there, but a time will come. It's like when you are on a ship. So some are looking toward the future on a ship. Imagine a huge ship. There are ships like that. You have a 5 mile, supposing, walk on the shipboard. I mean, 5 mile is too much for a ship, but let's say the supramental ship has about 10 miles or 100 miles you can walk on the ship. So somebody is standing on the other side and looking toward the future is very happy. Somebody standing on the other side of the ship and looking toward what has been left behind is very unhappy. But all will reach together. And the test that is done, as Mother has described, actually the supramental ship, is not about anything outer, not about our moral, religious things, but purely whether the consciousness has become transparent or not to the divine. That the wonderful experience of the Mother. And who can speak about that? It's only the divine who knows, or in our own sincerity. And yet there will be an effort to create a religion of sort. And I would like to read just one passage from the Mother on this subject. And this passage is from one of her conversations, where she cautions that there are people who are trying to make a religion of Sri Aurobindo, and she guards us against it. Why? Because she saw that adverse force, falsehood, take the form of Sri Aurobindo. And it came to Nalinida. We know that Nalinida looked at the feet, and that force taking the form of Sri Aurobindo, it tried to ask him to touch his feet. And he knew this is not Sri Aurobindo. Never he would ask to surrender, touch your feet, my feet, nothing. So he understood, and when he looked at the feet were not like Sri Aurobindo. Sri Aurobindo's feet were small and very soft. So also his hands were soft and relatively small. Those who have touched, they describe the texture. So he immediately knew that these are not Sri Aurobindo's feet, and it's that force. Same thing happened with the Mother. So the Mother says something about this in this context, and she cautions us, and we must remember it. What the Asuric force that has succeeded in taking the appearance of Sri Aurobindo will create is a new religion or thought, not Sri Aurobindo. You cannot make religion out of Sri Aurobindo, because religion means a belief system. This is a yoga. Religion implies that you have to just believe. Religion is basically origin is spiritual seeking and finding, but when you turn it into a belief system, it becomes religion. Second, religion is only about the external. But yoga is primarily internal. Yes, inner and outer can go together and must go together in an integral yoga. What the Asuric force that has succeeded in taking the appearance of Sri Aurobindo will create is a new religion or thought, perhaps cruel and merciless, in the name of the supramental realization. Mother will punish you. These thoughts come from the Asura. Yes, if she punishes, where will, you know? जाके कृपाल अवलेश ते मति मंद तुलसीदास पायो परम विश्राम राम समान प्रभु नाही कहो. इफ द डिवाइन पनिशेस अस, वेयर विल वन गो टू फॉर रिफ्यूज. देयर इज अ पोएम ऑफ श्री अरविंदो ऑन शिवा, इट सेज रिफ्यूज ऑफ द लॉस्ट. सो ऑन द अदर हैंड दोज हु आर द सिनरेस्ट ऑफ द सिनर, दिस नॉट ए वर्ड इन इंग्लिश, सिनरेस्ट इट्स ए मेडिसिन. The worst of sinners can come to his feet and get released from their sin. This is the glory of the divine. And if someone cannot do it, then that's not divine by definition. And the mother speaks of it, redeemed by the grace. She says, those who just have faith, they will be lifted into the supramental light. These are her words. She speaks about people who leave their body here and says, unconditional. When she was asked, mother, but the mother says, but she was full of anger and all. He says, yes. Sri Aurobindo says, yes. It is not based on any condition, neither internal nor outer. So that is the power. When we use the words like punishment, fear, then we have actually done a great disservice to Sri Aurobindo. We have reduced that infinite grace to, a judge. Even a judge will not pass such judgment. So this is cruel. One may not use the word cruel. But when you tell a person, oh, you are going to be outcast, mother will punish you, what are we doing except being, this is the cruelest of things, that the divine will punish us. What? Human punishment, you can go to the divine. But if the divine punishes, where will you go? So she says, cruel and merciless. In the name of the supramental realization, they will distort certain words of Sri Aurobindo, that's true, which are obviously taken out of context, meaning added to it, and they are blown out of proportion. And they forget the grace. And mother says, adverse forces, how they operate, says they are originally instrument of sincerity, that you have this problem, defect. He says, but why they are adverse forces? Because they don't believe in grace. It's a clear-cut action of adverse forces when they speak in this language. But everybody must know that it is not true. Perhaps it's time to say that, because the movement has become so vast and all kinds of things are likely to be told in the name of Sri Aurobindo. Sri Aurobindo is not a new religion. Least of all a religion where fear and cruelty and merciless and punishment, they don't go together. It is his infinite compassion for which he did the tapasya for all of us. But everybody must know that it is not true. It is not Sri Aurobindo's teaching, not the truth of his teaching. So what is the truth of Sri Aurobindo's teaching? Beautifully she summarizes. The truth of Sri Aurobindo is the truth of love and light and mercy. 25 years, mother says, most of the time when she would think of the Lord, it would be Lord, God of kindness and mercy. She knew our state. The truth of Sri Aurobindo is the truth of love and light and mercy. He is good and great and compassionate and divine. That's why she says two things one must never forget. The mother's love and Sri Aurobindo's compassion. Sri Aurobindo even goes on to say, remember that the mother loves you. Base your life on this one single truth. Will he say that? Obviously this is a... So once for all, I hope this is removed from the minds of people. Mother is punishing me. Mother is testing me. Why is mother doing this? Things come to all of us in the part of the world play. Things which we may like good, things which may appear bad, things which are pleasant, things which are painful, nobody is exempt. Even Rama, Krishna, Sri Aurobindo and the mother, nobody is exempt. In fact, the greater are you supposed to be, the more the challenges will come. And Sri Aurobindo says, they pain us because we are attached. After all, if you see, if there is a physical illness, why are we suffering? Because I am attached to the body, obviously. Otherwise, pain will be there, but not the suffering. Inwardly, I will be free. But I am attached to the body, I am afraid of death. So, suffering comes because of attachment. Not because of some sin for which mother is punishing me and sending COVID and plague and all that nonsense. That's how, Inquisition time Christianity had entered into this very groove and created a very merciless religion out of the mercy of Christ. And so much have happened after that, right? Going up to deep state, but let me not talk about that. It created that kind of religion. People had plague and, you know, it was for your sins you are suffering. And inquisitions were held, people were killed. So we don't want to go into that. He is good and great and compassionate and divine. And it is He who will have the final victory. So this is what we must remember. He is good and great and compassionate and divine. He is love and light and mercy. Jai Maa.